Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And commencing a reading at verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. Let us hear God's word. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended at these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And then if we could please turn to Luke's Gospel, Luke's Gospel chapter 6, and it is the first 46 that I want to read from of God's Word. Luke 6, verse 46, down to 49. Luke 6, 46 to 49. Again, let us hear God's Word. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dug deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 49. Conscious, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word for his own name's sake. With our Bibles open before us, let us bow before the Lord, seeking his face briefly before the Lord, conscious that we need his help. As I've said before, so I say again, vain is the help of man, therefore we need his help. We've known the Lord's presence beforehand, but past blessings will not suffice. Therefore, we need grace for grace. And if you're not saved outside of Jesus Christ, you ask God to speak to you, and not only to speak to you, but to save your never dying soul. Lord, our Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this place, We thank thee for the access. And to the holiest of holies, made nigh by the blood of the Lamb, we ask of thee that you'll help us in all that is said and done, that it will be done to the glory of thy precious name. Lord, hide us behind the cross, that none would be seen but Jesus Christ, empty as now of self and of sin, fill as full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Bless the preaching of divine truth. Bless the hearing of it. Shut us in with thyself. We pray that you'll shut out the world and the clamour of it. We pray for that holy awe, that thou would speak the word only. We remember those who are unable to come out to the house of God, whom thou lovest is sick. And we pray that you'll draw graciously near and minister to their souls this day. And so now we ask of thee, according to the man at thy right hand, upon his merit, upon his work, that thou wilt fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Bless all that is said and done to the honour of thy dear precious name. For it's in Christ's worthy name we ask it, and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. The passages that we have considered here together this morning is a record of Christ's great sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus Christ had beforehand preached in the synagogues, most probably due in this occasion, due to the multitudes, there wouldn't have been room in the synagogues. We find the Lord ascending into a mountain, out in the open air, to set forth his discourse before the people. He concludes his sermon by showing a comparison of two houses and tells where the main difference lies. Though these two houses look so similar, there is a very important difference. Because it is important, because it is a matter of life and death. A matter of eternal security, a matter of eternal damnation. You see, often is the case that it is very difficult to tell the difference between the true child of God and the false professor. You take, for example, you have a $5 note in each hand. As you look upon those notes, one is genuine and real, while the other is fake and false. One is real, while the other is counterfeit. As you look at both notes, they look so identical. They look the same. And yet, when they're placed under the ultraviolet light, as perhaps you go up to the counter, to the checkout, to the grocery store, as those notes are placed under the ultraviolet light, well, the light reveals that which is genuine and real. And the light reveals that which is fake and false. You see, the light tells and exposes which one is genuine and which one is false. And so God's word is a light. And God's word reveals who are his and who are not his. But we must get back to the passage, because the Lord Jesus Christ gives a greater picture. He gives a greater parable, an example, in a sense, he gives a greater illustration. For he speaks of two houses. One of the houses is described as being built without a foundation and is in great danger. And great will be the fall of it, never to rise again, while the other is built upon a firm foundation and is safe and is secure and is being upheld by its great strength. As we considered in the Bible class this morning, the one who is built up upon the spiritual house is being upheld by its great strength. Both houses, they look so similar, as they're merely stood erected, perhaps side by side, standing next to each other. But when the winds blow and the storms come, the floods dash against them, yes, the storms come to both houses. The floods dash against them, well, the one without a foundation will immediately fall, while the other is safe and sound. You see, the great lesson the Lord Jesus Christ was portraying for us, the great lesson he was teaching us, is that it is a vain thing. That it is a vain thing to profess to be a Christian when you have no foundation. And so I ask a simple question, as a title, as a proposition: is everything in order? Is everything in order? You see, Jehovah is the only sure and permanent rest of the soul. And those who reject him will remain forever restless. And therefore, right at the very outset, is everything in order? Is Christ thy rest? Is Christ thy rest? As Jehovah is the only sure and permanent rest of the soul, those who reject him shall remain forever restless. We see in these passages there is, firstly, well, there is professors without practice. There are professors without practice. As I stated earlier, that Christ was preaching this great sermon on the Mount in the open air, due probably to the fact that there wouldn't have been room in the synagogues. He ascends into the mountain to set forth this great discourse. As recorded, there was a great audience of people. We see this in Luke 7, chapter 1. In Luke 7, chapter 1, now when he ended all his sayings, in the audience of the people, many had gathered around to hear the sayings of Christ. Many had come to hear the words of Christ. They had gathered around, a great audience of people. And I don't believe for one minute that Christ would have merely whispered these words. I don't believe for one minute he would have simply whispered these words, "And why called ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" I don't believe for one minute he would have merely whispered those words. As the great audience has gathered, as they've come to hear the sayings of Christ, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" No, he wouldn't have whispered them. For he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the point is, many do perish. Many do perish because of their own self-determined sinfulness, man's own volition, man's own choosing evil because he is wholly inclined to evil. Many perish because of their rejection of Christ. That is, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, evangelical repentance, without which all must perish. And so he sets this question before them. He sets this question before them with great urgency and warning. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He was addressing them, saying to them, "Why are you calling yourself a Christian and claiming to be a child of God and that I am your master when you do not the things which I say?" Oh, many call him Lord. Many call him Lord who do not act accordingly. He was revealing to them their true nature. He was revealing to them their true nature, showing them themselves to themselves that their practice, well, that their practice didn't back up their profession. You see, friend, unless our lives are thus built on and into Christ, unless our lives are thus built on and into Christ, they will collapse. They will collapse into a heap of ruin. They will collapse into a heap of ruin. You see, he was pointing out to them that they were a bunch of pretenders. That they were pretending. That they were making a profession, that their profession was without practice because they called him Lord. And he sets this question before them with great urgency and warning. Do you not see the folly of it? "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Having a form of godliness, having that outward show, that outward regalia of religion, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. God saw their hearts. God saw their hearts. He saw the true root of the matter. That a mere external show of religion, it's not enough. that a mere outward external show of religion is not enough, or pretending great devotion and holiness, being outwardly religious before men, having a mask of Christianity and a visor of godliness, a plan of doctrine, a form of sound words, a scheme of truths, which men may have without partaking of divine grace. Oh yes, the Church of Rome claim the title Christian with a small c, Christless Christians, professors without practice. Oh, friend, the Church of Rome, they claim to be Christian, but they're no more Christian than a dog or flea. No more Christian than a dog or flea. Yes, they hold to the doctrine of the Trinity. They have the scriptures, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, pretending to be the Lord's own sheep, but inwardly they were ravening wolves. And friend, it will not be sufficient. It will not be sufficient to call him Lord, Lord, and bring us to heaven if there is no conversion in the heart. It will not be sufficient enough to call him Lord, Lord, and bring us to heaven if there's no conversion in the heart. For we are cheating ourselves. We are cheating ourselves if we think that a bare lip service of religion will save us, and that saying or hearing the sayings of Christ, that merely hearing the sayings of Christ will bring us to heaven without doing them. That means you can stand at a gospel open air, just like these men. You can stand at a gospel open air. You can preach the word of God. You can be suited and booted. You can be dressed for the occasion. You can go to church. You can read the Bible. You can be baptized, catechized, sit at the Lord's table, and still go to a Christless eternity. Because you don't have the one thing needful. Is everything in order? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is his will then? What is his will? Well, his will is to believe in Christ. To believe in Christ. That we repent of sin. And we live a holy life, that we love one another. You see, the message is repentance toward God. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. The two go together. Those great twin truths. Those great twin truths that are inseparable, that go together. That is, that they cannot be separated. The gifts of repentance and faith, that is, by repentance we must forsake our sins, and by faith we must receive the forgiveness of them. This is what Christ came preaching. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching when he was here in the flesh. He said in Mark 1:15, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, because we understand time always flies. But he said this in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You see, we must not think that reforming our lives will save us without trusting in the righteousness and grace of Christ. Or that trusting in Christ will save us without the reformation of our hearts and lives. You see, after a man repents, he hates his sin. He doesn't want anything to do with his sin. He shuns his sin. But before a man repents, he practices in his sin. He loves his sin. He wallows in his sin. Repent ye therefore. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent ye. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Here's the will of God. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Because if we repent not, we shall certainly perish eternally, as others have done so before us. He has set before us life and death, good and evil, and put us to your choice. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The Lord wasn't their master. The Lord wasn't their master because they didn't do the things which he said. And therefore, well, the Lord was showing them their true nature, that they were by nature the children of wrath. That they were by nature the children of wrath, born exposed to wrath. Doesn't matter if you were born into a respectable home. Doesn't matter if you were born into a respectable home or a dysfunctional home. You were born facing a coming eternity. That's how it is with you outside of Jesus Christ. You who are not saved, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. That is under his authority, under his influence, his instructions, his directions, and obey his commands. and ready to follow him. Perhaps you say, "Preacher, that's a bit strong." Let me tell you something. You weren't born a child of God. You weren't born into this world a child of God. The child of the devil. That's what the Holy Ghost says. Not man. That's what the Holy Ghost says. We're not born into this world children of God, but rather born children of wrath. Children of wrath. The wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Yes, they were disobedient. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That is the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. The Lord was showing to them their true nature, that they were disobedient, that their profession didn't back up their practice, that their practice didn't back up their profession. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? Why are you doing it? And why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I say. Oh, they profess Christ. Lord, Lord. They profess Christ, but they didn't practice Christ, and therefore they didn't have Christ. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. They were hearers and not doers. Professors without practice. Remember our brother, young Matthew Higgins? He was testifying how he actually stood at the open air. He actually stood along with those who were in Christ. But yet he knew in his own heart he wasn't right with God. He was actually giving out tracts. And he testified to the fact that he wasn't yet saved. Because his profession didn't back up his practice. His practice didn't back up his profession. They were hearers and not doers. Professors without practice. What does it say in verse 49 of Luke 6? A passage that we read earlier. They were hearers and not doers. Professors without practice. And what does it say in verse 49? That he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. These men were deceived into thinking they were the Lord's when they were not. Because they said, "Lord, Lord." Oh, the heart's deceitful above all things. It's deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked, who can know it? These men were deceived into thinking they were the children of God when they weren't. And God addresses the issue. God actually addresses the issue. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I say. God addresses the issue, knowing and seeing their hearts. Oh, friend, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But are you sure you're saved? There's no uncertainty on his part. The foundation is sure. The rock is sure. A sure foundation. There's no uncertainty on his part, but on ours. The only security is our faith in his promise and the fruits of the Spirit. W.P. Nicholson, he said, "You cannot be saved and not know it. You cannot be saved and not know it. You cannot be saved and not show it." Because the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. You see, it is a thorough change of the heart. It is a thorough change of the heart, a new creature, and this ought to be the care of all who profess the Christian faith, that they be new creatures, not only that they have a new name, but that they have a new heart, a new nature. So great, friend, is the grace of God makes in the soul. So great is the grace of God makes in the soul, and that as it follows, old things are passed away, old principles, old thoughts, old practices are passed away, and all things must become new. You see, regenerating grace creates a new world in the soul. All things are new. The renewed man acts from new principles, by new rules, by new ends, and a new company. Friend, if you're not sure as to where you stand, you can be sure. Because there is a possession provided. There is a possession provided. Verse 47 to verse 48. Verse 47 to 48. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Christ is the rock and no other. Christ is the rock and no other. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." He is the possession provided. Though rejected of men, he is the happiness and comfort and safety of all those that believe in him. He alone strengthens the building. but unites the parts and heats them together. He is both the foundation and cornerstone. And therefore, there is no other by which sinful souls can be saved. By him and him only. By receiving and embracing his teaching. You see, our salvation is our chief concern. Our salvation is our chief concern. It is the most important thing. Above everything, perhaps you place important. This is the one thing needful. The eternal well-being of our souls. God's salvation. Our rescue from wrath and the curse, and our restoration to God's favour. Without Jesus Christ, there is no other way of salvation. And so we come back to where we started. Is everything in order? Perhaps you filled those around you. Perhaps for a long time you filled those around you. But my friend, you cannot fill God. These men, they sought to fill God. And yet he said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I say." Is everything in order? Are you likened unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock? Or are you likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand? All the storms come to both houses. For he maketh his sun to rise in the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And so for the child of God, he is safe and secure because he's being upheld by his great strength. And that's why Paul the Apostle could say, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." He was made strong for all things because he was upheld by his great strength. He was in Christ. Being upheld by his great strength. Yet the foolish man, well, when the storms and the winds blow, great will be the fall of it. Great will be the fall of it. Never to rise again. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest dream, but holy lean on Jesus' name. Oh, friends, yes, the storms come.
But it's not the measure of our faith that saves. It's the one who is the object of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And therefore the child of God can say, this is my beloved Saviour, in whom I am well pleased. Is everything in order? Is everything in order?